welcome to the show. It's the best podcast that we know. We are glad to have you here. Let our voices massage your ears. It's free and it's online. It's an hour of your time. So welcome to the Brother Stream Show. Welcome to the Brother Stream Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the 26th and last for a while episode of the Brother Streep Show.
With me, Dil Streep.
Me, Simon Streep.
And I'm Andrew.
And you are sounding crisp, my friend.
Hello, listeners.
Why are you sounding so crisp tonight?
Well, crispness came early.
Yeah.
And
very good. Crispness in July.
Yeah. And you guys have provided me with a delicious new microphone.
Yeah.
Whoa. What do you mean delicious? Have you been...
I know that you meant to hold
it quite close to your mouth, but you aren't meant to just bite into it.
What about a lick?
I find that the heads of these microphones can be quite smelly.
Yeah.
So I often eat with my nose in terms of if it's appealing, I'll go for it. If it's not, stay away. So I don't often eat the microphone. It's weird that the microphone you were on, some would say, is probably a better microphone.
Yes. It's too good, though.
Yeah. That's the problem. It's too good for the quality of this show. So now you've come down to our level, and hopefully we'll all be good.
Do you want to give that mic a little smell? See, because it's a second-hand mic. We couldn't
it's a
afford
brand
you
new second-hand mic.
We couldn't afford you a new one. Do you want to give it a little smell? See if it's... What did the previous owner smell like?
I'm getting hints of fresh cut grass,
hints of acoustic guitar,
berries, and some sort of mouthwash.
When you are tasting wine, can you just say anything?
Oh yeah, as long as it's one of those things. So it's toffee, wood.
Okay,
it's very woody. Woody is a good word.
Fruity is big. Spice,
very good.
Can you say like it? It smells like the inside of a pool noodle or something like that. Can you like use that sort of descriptor?
No, it needs to be words like tannins and pool noodle.
You can't say it smells like tannins though.
No. You just got to say, you say, ooh, the tannins.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Mention the legs. Always mention the legs.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
What I like is when you go for that first, the smell, and you kind of plunge your whole face inside the glass as deep as it can go without cutting your face off. I feel like we should probably just go straight into the big question of the day. Did you do the Weet-Bix challenge?
I did not.
Oh, my word.
Did you do the beefy
Bovril?
You're telling
me I drank a beefy Bovril drink. I didn't, actually.
Damn. Okay, well, I was the only one that did my homework.
Did you take Air Moon?
I took Air Moon.
Yeah.
And Andrew's correct. It is horrid.
So gross. Is it the worst?
It's disgusting things. You know what? Having it in lukewarm water wasn't the worst part of it. And you would think that when you are having something in lukewarm water, that would be the worst part of it.
Yeah.
But no, the foam, the brown foam that seemingly contains seaweed or something.
Lukewarm reminds me of washing dishes, like at the point of the washing dishes when it's no longer kind of hot.
Yeah.
And everything that goes with that, bits of food that are floating around, your hands have gone quite wrinkly by now.
Your
back is sore because you've been hunched over so long. Andrew, you would know.
I know that very well.
I would say that probably drinking dishwater, whilst it might not be as healthy as a product that I had this morning,
it would taste better.
It would taste quite a bit better.
Yeah, well, it depends what you had for dinner that night, I guess.
So I'm surprised that you went for the lukewarm water. Like, those are the instructions on the box, but I very quickly stopped doing that and just had it in cold water or even like frozen water or just like frozen
to
ice water or just whatever.
To numb your senses as it goes down.
I dissolved it in Coke.
I went for the real way and the lukewarm. I think the lukewarm actually might be better for it because it is so disgusting and it is so horrible. At least you're kind of feeling like you're having a warm beverage. And so it distracts you, but it's like, ooh, some heat that it wouldn't ordinarily be there in a Calcivita or other kind of effervescent tablet.
But now, speaking of melting it in Coke or whatever you said a little while ago, what is the rule with taking medicine with something that's enjoyable versus taking it with water? Because I've always wondered, they say you have to have it with water or else it doesn't work. But how is that possible? Surely not.
Yeah, no, you could have it with fruit juice.
I think it must be a disgusting cesspool in the stomach pit. Like, what does it matter if a small glass of water went in there at the same time?
I've often thought, especially with effervescent tablets, do they need to even be effervescent. Surely if you swallow the tablet whole, all that kind of stuff will happen inside
your
stomach.
Please try that tomorrow. Yeah. because you will foam up in the throat.
Do you think you will? It sounds like Enos and pigeons all over again.
The people up the road from me had a dog, and like most dogs, when they're sick or have medicine to take, they don't like taking the pill that you're going to give them.
Yeah.
So they always used to put the pills in bar ones. And so, I mean, if I put this tablet inside the middle of a bar one and just spit into it, what do you think would happen?
Hang on. Did you just say that you had friends who gave their dogs bar ones?
Yes.
Do you know that that'll kill
chocolate
the dog more than the pill?
Famously, that little kid says it.
When you say friends, do you mean me and my family?
No, me and my family have never had a dog. Thank you very much.
Okay. Good. Well, you didn't.
Uncle Charles would not allow for it.
You didn't have one for long because you kept on giving it bar ones.
You didn't feed your blender box any bar ones.
No, well look, I'm beginning to realize why this dog was so sick, but they definitely used to put it in a bit of bar one, and I might try that tomorrow with my effervescent tablet.
Maybe it'll make a whole new fun flavor.
Yeah. So who has a go-to that they sign off their emails with, like a little like regards Andrew or your sincerely Andrew, that kind of a thing?
If I'm keeping it informal with friends or family, it's take care.
Okay, so the informal, what's your formal version?
Regards. If I'm angry with them, and if I'm not angry with them, kind regards.
Okay, we know this. Kind regards, and take care. Have you ever thought of just standardizing? Because I have one for all purposes.
Yes, you do.
Do you?
I can't. I feel like take care is too familiar. Yeah. Work environments.
And what about kind regards? As that to me is pretty much a good standard, because that's nice and friendly for your family, but also
but it's very formal for my family.
The multiple kinds.
Saturday, kind regards, Andrew.
Okay, all right.
The problem with your one, Simon, is that because you write Godspeed as one word, it can fall into that trap of like that. Those funny website names that if you read them wrong, Penn Island, Penis Land. So yours could be God's peed.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up.
Which is bad.
Because for the first time...
Because that's where rain comes from.
Or God's peed.
Well, for the first time in the history of having that signature, today was the day that I accidentally left out the S.
God peed.
Yeah. And so one of the clients today got a lovely email that said... God peed, Simon.
And so, what do you do now?
Oh, well, I mean, I think because I had sent one before that moment.
That is corporate suicide, really. You're done. You're done here.
Because I had sent one before that moment with the normal thing, I think he probably, you know, it's not as an opening gambit, I think that would have been a strange thing. Like, if you'd never received an email from me, God peed, Simon, you'd be like, I'm not sure if this is a typo, if he's trying to make some sort of cool transgressive point.
Yeah.
But I think I'm safe.
Okay.
So what do you do as your
Sometimes go for cheers. Quite like cheers.
All right.
I remember... Because
that's ambiguous. Could be goodbye, could be thank you.
Yeah.
Depending on where you're from.
Totally. So I remember in primary school, quite early primary school...
Whoa, you're sending emails in primary school.
Not emails, but people were saying cheers at the end of phone calls when they put down. And I actually remember thinking, that's very cool. I want to start doing that. Because I was still saying bye-bye or whatever. And like some of the cooler kids were saying cheers. So I started using cheers, and that's obviously the root... Where my sign-off comes from. Yeah, so I'll usually go with cheers or thanks.
And in a formal...
Occasionally thanking you. Okay. I like thanking you.
And formal, do you still do cheers?
No. Thanking you is probably the most formal I go.
That's pretty good.
We can just imagine all the funny typos I could do on that one.
With the phone, normally on phone conversations, I caught myself saying ciao.
Ciao?
Yeah, like as a ciao. Yeah. And that's not a great way.
No, that's problematic.
But
that's waving goodbye to your friends after spending the day on a beach in Spain. Ciao.
I have a problem with often, I think we might have chatted about this in a previous podcast series, but I have a problem with taking on things in a sort of ironic matter and then them becoming part of my vocabulary. So,
okay, example.
So something that I'm afraid of happening, because it's been happening a lot this week, is sort of taking on but. I'm not the kind of person that says but, but what has been happening
is, why are you saying but?
Is I've been putting on that kind of like more hey, hey but kind of like voice.
Right.
And then that word is snuck in that voice.
It's got through.
And now like a couple of times this week, I've been aware of it because
you have not genuinely gone, hey, cheers, but.
No, I haven't like, said cheers, but, voice. But like,
ciao.
No, no, no. No, I haven't gotten to that stage yet.
Yeah.
But I'm worried I'm going to get to that stage.
Okay.
I'm currently on the like, yeah, but send me that mail kind of thing.
Oh my goodness.
That's just no good.
Can I have permission to slap you about the face when it starts happening
you can.
In normal voice?
You really can. I never used to use emoticons as a serious thing. I used to use them as just like, ha ha ha, you know, I don't really... you know, do this properly, and then I caught myself doing it. So it's a slippery slope. You can slap me on the face if I start calling you but.
Okay. So at work, I don't know if either of you have experienced something like this, but I work in a building where the video department is on the one floor, and above you there's a music department. And recently, I don't know actually how long ago, maybe let's say within the last month, just for the sake of me carrying on with the story, there's like some new guy who's joined the music department, but he practices his trumpet at work. Now, trumpet's not a very subtle kind of instrument to practice by yourself in a quiet room. It's all day long.
Is he practicing any distinguishable songs?
I think he's just starting or something. It's hard to tell. It's like, you know, every parent thinks, well, it'd be great if my kid could play an instrument, but they're going to have to learn it for 10 years. That's going to be awful, like the violin or the recorder. But he's doing the trumpet, and it's so weird because my brain, like, trains to forget it.
Yeah.
It genuinely blanks
it out. So now when you listen to ska music, do you just hear everything other than the hall lines?
Yeah, I just can't hear it at all anymore. And then, you know, hours will go by and then suddenly you tune back into it and you go, oh my word. He's been doing that the whole day. I'm like secretly going insane.
And when you say a music department...
Yeah.
Because you do editing. Is this a music that's for the things that you're editing?
Basically.
Okay, so it's not a school music department that's somehow in the top of your building.
No.
Because that would be worse. You know, have all sorts of random instruments being played badly.
Well, true. Yeah, terribly. No, these people are at least out of school, but maybe this guy isn't. On a related note, you know, Simon, we've mentioned them twice now. You've got some neighbors, some recreational neighbors.
Yes.
In your flat, and... We kind of dabbled around what can you do, what can you say, what can you offer them in a basket to remedy the situation. I had a similar-ish situation the other night. It was more related to back to my story about like unwanted noises, like the trumpet sound noises. But these were kind of different noises. There were noises that I've heard about. These were baby making noises.
Okay, wow. Interesting.
You know, Andrew, you're going to be a father one day. What's going on there? It's just, I don't know if I can tap the roof with a broomstick like you see in the movies. Do I offer them a basket?
Is it coming from the top or the bottom?
It's an interesting question.
Or the side.
I think the top.
Okay.
It's hard to tell. So when I moved in on moving day, while I was getting some boxes from the car,
warned you. You've got some rabbits up there.
Totally. The person who I was going to be moving in next to.
Yeah.
Spoke to Liz and said, oh, by the way, there's some people here I've heard doing the naughty. And I thought they were making a porno kind of thing, she said. Told her, whatever. She's just kind of trying to lay down a base of don't make funny noises on day one. And then nothing happened for 2 weeks, so you know, I forgot about it. And then you go to bed and suddenly you're like, oh, hello.
That's interesting.
That's interesting. I didn't pay to get into the back of a blue movie cinema, but here I am.
we've only had that happen once or twice where we've heard people, and it was hard to tell where they were coming from. It was like a surround sound. There wasn't really anything we could do.
No.
It did sound like they were getting up to a lot of fun, though. It made me. So we've had two situations, and I think I've also chatted about this before on the podcast, where we spotted a couple across the way.
Oh yeah, just, so you've seen and heard.
Yes, we've seen and heard, and in both occasions, it made me question whether my technique has been good. It sounded quite intense.
Well, maybe they should have gone to them for the sex talk instead of you and Christine.
Probably, but yeah, I guess there's no easy way to do that.
So should I do?
I'm starting to understand why you guys go to sleep with your headphones in your ears.
That's exactly it. I don't sleep with normal headphones anymore. I have studio in-ear monitors that like literally block out all the noise in the world.
I think it's, you pretty much only complain when it's causing a problem. So if it's keeping you up, as in like awake or otherwise, then you should probably do something about it. Otherwise, I reckon just let it go.
Let it slide.
Are you sure that it's not a porno and that they're just watching something? Was there backing music?
Well, that's another thing. I could always provide some backing music. I think we've just stumbled upon the best thing.
Yeah,
I've got
that
a bass
is the best
guitar
thing.
In my room.
Yeah,
they're doing that. I just slowly add a little groove and see if they stop.
That's exactly what you need
to
do.
That's so great.
Problem solved.
Okay, I'm doing that.
Speaking about bedrooms, but on a less sexual
note.
Yeah. We recently had, for the first time in staying here, which has been about 3 years, we had the light go out in the bedroom.
What? Are you afraid of the dark?
No. The bulb blew you know, that kind of a thing.
Right.
And so this is the first time I've ever encountered this type of bulb. I went to go get the bulb out like any normal person would do. And rather than being a normal light bulb, like a bayonet, you know, as they say in the industry, or the other one.
The screw-in.
This one was like a halogen, like a weird little thin sort of random bulb that was...
Something from Star Trek.
Yeah, it was pretty space age. So then I had to replace this thing and I went to Game and got one. And the only one that they had at Game was this one that was 400 watts. And I didn't really think... What is the right wattage that this bulb needs to be?
Good.
I'm sure it's going to be fine. Anyway, I took this thing home and put it in.
Why should you have thought about that?
And basically, it was like having the sun inside our bedroom. This thing is far too bright. I've seen areas of my bedroom that didn't know existed. I'm sure my wife has seen areas of me that she didn't know existed.
That's fantastic.
It is shockingly bright. Do you know what? It's so bright.
I bought a light bulb literally the other day.
Yeah.
And it's 8 watts. That's normal.
This thing is so bright. It's made me realize that, for example, there's the top of our duvet, the very top layer that obviously is by our head, is slightly more stained than the other part of the duvet. I never knew that. I thought I had a perfectly clean duvet, but now under the bright light that is in my room,
I'm sure it's not burning that part of your duvet.
Might be. Then what happened is I thought, okay, I'll need to swap this out. And I like that you said, oh, no, the normal bulb's 8 watts. Not everyone knows this kind of thing. Also, I think the normal bulb's 80. I don't think it's 8.
Awfully. Anyway, carry on.
8 sounds very small. Anyway, so what
I think it depends if it's those new kind of energy saver ones or the old.
This one is definitely not saving energy.
Light bulb from on top of a head when you get an idea.
Yeah. I'm sure when I turn the light of my bedroom on, every light in its vicinity just dips a bit.
Bowing to their master.
It's probably what happened is the people at Eskom just got one of those bulbs, and that's what caused load shedding for all those months a year back. I don't know what happens, but every single time Roxanne goes into the study. Anyway, so I got a new one, but I made the mistake of thinking, all right, this is way too bright. At least I need half of this light. So I went and got a 200 watt. Similar problem, not as bad, but it's still too bright. So now I'm stuck waiting to try to find a freaking 100 watt version of this bulb.
What about just shades? Sunglasses when you walk in the room.
It's not a bad idea. At least I wouldn't be able to see the stains on my duvet.
It solves a problem.
Or just write that room off.
I don't know, when you stay in a one bedroom flat, you can't really write a whole room off. Well, the reason why we're not going to be doing a couple of podcasts after this, we're going to give it about a month's break, is because two things are happening. So we may as well address them.
Put them in order of importance.
All right. First, which is most important, is Andrew is not coming to Grahamstown with us. Yeah. We are going to Grahamstown. Andrew's having a child.
Yay!
That's amazing. Yeah. Now that it's pretty much 2 to 3 weeks away, how are you feeling about this?
I mean, fine.
Have
I think.
You... have you been sleeping in more than usual to sort of save up for the sleep you're going to lose?
Stockpiling hours.
No, yeah. I've been doing the opposite. I've been staying up like really late.
Okay.
Playing computer games.
Playing Rocket League.
Yeah. and I don't know if that's training me or if I should be sleep training myself.
I guess it depends whether you can feed a child and play Rocket League at the same time, whether that's training you.
I'm willing to try.
But, okay. So you're not sleeping at all?
No, no.
Eating?
Normal.
You're not taking on like all the kind of things of the pregnant mom?
Oh, I see. No.
By
no.
proxy?
No, but I mean...
Claire's like fast asleep, no issues. Like, oh, my back. My feet are swelling up.
No. I haven't swollen my feet on purpose.
It kind of almost sounds like you're very blasé about, you know, this is a huge thing that's coming up.
Yes, it is. But I mean, you know.
You're like, well, I haven't really thought. I'm just... life
the thing is,
on.
Right, is yeah. that you know, you've just got to kind of... go with it.
Sure.
Yeah.
You could write
true.
A book on this.
What do you reckon the best advice that you've been given was? Someone must have given you some good child's on the way. This is what I want to let you know. Share your pre-child wisdom with us and we'll see if it's good post-child.
I mean, I don't know. Like, actually, I haven't been given a lot of advice because I think people always tell you, everyone will give you a lot of advice.
Yeah.
But I haven't actually been given a lot of advice. I've been given that piece of advice a lot.
Okay.
There's no one specific thing. Although I will say on a serious note that antenatal classes were incredibly useful.
Okay, that's good.
So I'd recommend them.
How long do you think it's going to take for you to get over the fact that your baby is not going to break? Because I'm one of those people that I think I would make sure that I've been nervous about doing things correctly, but you know, babies, you know, like when you're coddling and all that kind of stuff, but I think they are pretty
resilient,
you know. How long do you think that's going to last?
Just not if they kind of fall from in your arms, because that's, you know.
Yeah, no, that's like dropping them off a building.
That's two stories.
Yeah. Well, I am not planning on holding the baby until it's 16.
Okay,
interesting.
Good.
Yeah. Just for fear of dropping her.
Okay,
good. Good plan.
Yeah.
What you need to do with said baby, I don't want to like tell you all the things, but this one specifically is the old climb the mountain. So I don't know if you guys remember this, but you take the hands and the kid climbs up your front.
Oh yeah.
Foot by foot. And then if they're very skilled, they can do a little backflip at the end. I remember doing that. I think I broke my uncle's thumbs doing that.
I don't know.
I held his hands tight and then I did the backflip and just twisted his hands around.
I don't know if they can do it in the Kerr family, because if it's Claire, it's not much of a mountain.
Right.
If it's Andrew, you have to pack supplies.
Yeah. Go up with an oxygen tank.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And the other thing that is happening is, I guess, we're doing the Grahamstown Festival.
Boo. It's boring compared to...
So if you are going to be up in Grahamstown, maybe check us out. We've got three shows there. Dill, are you feeling...
We're taking our little baby up to Sedgefield. To Grahamstown. And it's going to be 5 years old this year.
Yeah.
Actually, I guess we've got two kids. And a newborn coming too with our three shows. So we've got a three-year-old, a one-year-old, and it hasn't seen the light of day yet.
Yeah.
That's getting born on this Sunday, actually.
Yeah. And we've also got three other members that have never been before, so it's going to be cool sharing the fest with them. What I wanted to do this year, and I never got around to doing it, because there didn't seem to be enough interest in the people that I pitched this idea to.
Right.
But I liked the idea of printing out a poster for a show that is not in the program, that doesn't exist. And we had seen a show a while back, I don't know what it was called, but part one of the lines in the show, just randomly someone just went, "Norman and the Boss." I mean, there was no context to it.
Sorry, not one of the lines, the last line.
The last line.
Like, the whole thing was a drama, and then they all went, "Norman and the Boss," and took a bow.
There was no, absolutely zero context. There was just like, out of place.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I thought it'd be cool to make a poster for Norman in the Box, put like a whole bunch of like fake awards on it, like make, you know, best hit Grahamstown production, book tickets, sell out, and put it up around the city and just see what happens, see if it became this talked about thing, like, oh my gosh, have you seen Norman the Boss? Apparently it's amazing. Or maybe it'll be like, oh my gosh, have you seen Norman the Boss? Because I can't. I've tried to book tickets a million times and either it's not in their system or it's sold out. I just don't know. Or you could trick people and be like, hey, have you seen the show? And they go, yes, yeah, yeah, it's amazing. Be like, aha, I know you haven't because that show does not exist.
You fools.
Yeah.
I think, without bursting too many bubbles, based on poster to attendance,
yes,
ratios, probably just nothing would really happen.
So you're assuming that I wouldn't have printed out flyers as well?
Yeah, I guess. If you put as much work into that show for some reason, and there's like no numbers at our own shows, just all these disappointed people looking for Norman and the Boss. Yeah, I'm not sure. But it will be very cool to go on tour with the band because, might be mistaken, but I don't think we've really actually done a very long tour where we play music. No. We've gone places with the band and with the members, and we've gone to Joburg, and we were lucky enough to go to England, but we never really played a string of shows.
Yeah.
So first tour, 10 years on.
Gonna be excited.
Let's do it.
Alert, alert, sound the alarm. It's bathroom time.
Yes. I love this part of the show. It's become one of my favorite non-segment segments.
Yeah.
It's become a segment.
It's full blown.
Yeah, and it was full blown. So, Simon, you took some leave recently.
Yes,
last Friday, if I'm correct.
Yeah, I wasn't here.
And you weren't at work.
He was with me.
Yeah, and I was at work.
Okay.
And I was told at about 11 o'clock in the morning that the toilets at work had completely flooded. And I went to look.
Whoa.
And like the whole bottom section of the exchange was flowing with sewage.
Oh no.
So flowing kind of out from that kind of middle section which goes up to field office,
yeah,
down into the parking lot.
How, I mean,
it was just water and effluent flowing down.
Oh my goodness.
How? That's horrible.
It's terrible. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like
I think a burst pipe or something.
Sounds like Simon maybe planted a little trick and then ran away. Ran away laughing.
Hey, yeah, I wouldn't do that kind of
just
thing.
Just like at my house. That
no, that
time.
Sounds like Lauren Willen's kind of territory. She probably did that.
And wow. So, what did you do? Add to it?
I held back.
Because everyone must have felt really guilty if they used the toilet that day.
Absolutely.
Especially if they used it while it was flooding and they're like, I know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Do you think anyone was like, I'll just skip the process and go go straight into the stream?
So, if they had to kind of line everyone up to find the culprit, your hands would be the only ones that were clean, Simon.
Yes.
Very lucky.
Well, yeah. What was a bit confusing
often
is that
the accuser is the opposer.
What was a bit confusing is that instead of, I don't know what you do in that situation, but what the maintenance team was doing in this situation was just wheeling in wheelbarrows of sand and like kind of making a sort of
cat droppings.
No, like making a moat. Like not even sort
of
just
having
putting
fun with it really.
Not even just putting the sand down to try and absorb it or whatever. Because that wouldn't really work. They were actually like steering the poo downstream. It was very weird.
That's very cool.
And then I don't know, like I left as quickly as I could.
Yeah, I don't think I would have looked at that for too long. It must have been
I felt really sorry
for those
guys.
There's only two places you think of the word poo canal when you're cleaning out shrimp or prawns and this.
Yeah.
When they build one out of sand.
Now, what makes me worried about this, and I'm not sure what day it was last week, but I definitely experienced flushing the toilet and the water rising rather than going down.
Terrifying.
So, interesting.
Such a terrifying moment.
So I hope that I wasn't involved in the...
When that does happen, do you close the lid? Like in a head in the sand kind of way?
No, you just hold your breath and you hope that it goes down. Yeah.
But you surely close the lid too.
No.
The lid's not going to do much. Sure.
Oh, it could stop bobbers.
But it's not...
No, but then the bobbers are bobbing up against the lid.
Still.
Well, it's probably better
than
them.
Place for them than the floor, surely.
I don't know.
This was the poo round. Fantastic.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 questions.
Well, it's 20 questions, and today Andrew Kerr is going to be the one that is going to provide the thing that we need to guess. We only have 20 questions to guess what it is. Andrew, for the listener at home, not for our ears, please say what you're thinking of.
A cup of soup packet.
All right, we didn't hear that. We didn't know what he said.
Yeah.
But we are going to try to figure this thing out.
First I feel like you and I haven't been on a team for a while in this.
No.
Andrew and you.
Yeah.
You and Andrew, Andrew and I have been on the same team a couple of times. And he's quite a strong player.
Oh, okay, interesting. Are you?
I'm not a strong player.
All right.
And I think you're maybe somewhere in the middle, like the Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
Okay.
So the combination of you and I might be a bit interesting.
Yeah, well, let's see. Andrew, is it Charlie Chaplin?
Damn it. That was my first question.
Are you going to go for that? Really?
May as well. We'll get it in 10.
Oh, wow. Bold words.
Yeah.
I don't really like 20 questions. Okay, I'm just going to say that. So this is a super hard one.
All right. No. Well, I
will give you a clue.
What? No, you don't give us a clue.
You don't want to.
We have to ask questions, well, look, and your answers are the clues.
No, this isn't a quiz, Andrew.
When 10 rounds come and goes, and you are no closer to finding it out, I'll give you a clue.
Well, let's start. Is it? So you normally do the vegetable, mineral.
Oh, here we go.
Boring.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Is it a person?
No.
I thought it was a person.
But he already said it's not Charlie Chaplin. We should have ruled out person.
Yeah, well, I felt like we only ruled out one person.
Okay, so is it in this room with us now?
Yes.
There we go.
Andrew, is it mineral?
No.
Andrew, do you need it to live?
No.
Andrew, is it vegetable?
Yes.
Ooh. Andrew, can you see it with a human eye?
Can you see it? Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
But that visible. I take it by that reaction means he can't see it right now, but one could see
it. But it is vegetable and is in this room. So it could be a vegetable that we have in the kitchen.
Plan counters in this room.
That wouldn't be super hard though. It wouldn't be like, oh, you'll never get this. Oh, it's a banana that's quite clearly over there. So that makes me worry about.
Is this something that like is in a bag or under a box or something?
Yes.
Basically, what I think has happened is that this is something that's in Andrew's bag.
Yeah, and it's a vegetable.
So, which probably means it's edible.
Yeah, ask that.
Is it edible?
It is.
Oh, my word. Can I go for one?
Yes, you may.
Is it a Weet-Bix?
Would that be vegetable?
No.
Yeah, it'd be vegetable over those other things.
Okay, now we've got to think about what Andrew actually has for lunch.
I know he's mentioned peanut butter sandwiches.
Yeah. Is it confectionery or something that you would view as a treat or a sweet treat, that kind of a thing?
No.
Oh, here we go. Andrew, when you eat it...
That was 10 questions, by the way.
Or drink it. Well, it's fine. We'll get on this one. When you eat, when you're eating or drinking this thing, imbibing it, if you will, where does the best sensation happen on your tongue?
Yes.
Wait, does the best sensation of that happen at the front of your tongue? Think back to biology.
I don't remember.
Is it savory?
Yes.
Hey.
Yes, savory. Does like are fruits savory?
Though, I think they're quite sweet. Well, it depends.
Depends on the fruit, I guess.
Oh, no, they're not going to be like meaty.
Is it pastry based?
No.
Is it sandwich?
Is it sandwich? That's the best question I've ever been asked.
Is it sandwich based?
No. Oh, no.
Damn it.
Not sandwich. All right, okay. Well, we'll come back to this. We've got a couple more questions to go.
I think we could get this.
We've gotten pretty far in a short time.
Yeah.
But we've also gone through a lot of questions in a short time.
Right.
So that may or may not be good.
You got specific pretty quick.
Charlie Chaplin.
But you can eat it and it's in his bag, so it's got to be something cool. I mean, it could be saying not cool. But why would he be taking not cool things to eat to work?
Specifically for this.
Yeah. We'll find out soon.
Liability. Welcome to Liability. This is a round where we'll present short lectures on topics of our choice to each other. All of it will be absolute lies, other than four little factoids that we're going to try to sneak past.
That sounds lots of fun.
Obviously, points will be scored just... It's quite obvious how they scored. There are positive points and negative ones, and someone will win at the end. Who's up first?
I don't mind going first. I chose to do one of my favorite movie. No, that's not me trying to put through a fact there, because it is clearly a fact. Everyone knows that I love The Lion King, and so I thought I'd share some wisdom with
you. Can I just say quickly that when you write down our initials the way I have, it spells out sad.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully you'll be not sad listening to this lecture. Okay. Here we go. The Lion King was originally going to be called The Lion King. A story about a petulant prince who lies to his father, and that leads to his accidental death and the prince's early kingship.
Spoiler alert.
As a joke, one of the scriptwriters said it would be funny if the prince was actually a lion. And this questionably hilarious pun ended up changing the whole film. The famous chant in the Circle of Life is actually translated, hippopotamus, hippopotamus, giraffe, hippopotamus, who is my hairdryer, giraffe, hippopotamus.
Oh, you had me until hairdryer.
Can You Feel the Love Tonight was originally called Can You Nuzzle My Head Tonight, but Elton John insisted on a title change so he could include it on his 1994 album. Yes.
I would like to say that he insisted on a title change, not necessarily that it was Can You Snuzzle My Head Tonight, but that it got so that he could include it on the album. Any of that true?
Well, if you're keeping points, Dylan, you can minus one from yourself.
That makes me sad.
That is not true. Lion King was the first Disney animated film based on a completely original story, even though it clearly makes references to Jaws, the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Yes. I know this. It does make reference to Jaws in that camera move where the stampede comes down.
That is not true.
That's definitely true.
Well, I mean, if it's true, it's an accidental truth.
That's a huge truth.
Well,
they do the Jaws camera move.
I'll tell you
what,
we'll hold back in giving you the point, and I'll do my research when I get, get there.
I'm writing it on another page.
The Lion King wasn't without its controversy. In North Korea, The Lion King had a PG-16 rating, as Pumbaa was the first Disney character to fart on screen. It was also released 6 months late.
Pumbaa was probably the first Disney character to fart on screen.
Now you can give yourself a point.
Yay!
Look
at that.
It was also released 6 months late in Australia, as Simba and Nala weren't able to get through border control. And a hyena researcher sued Disney for defamation of character for its portrayal of the animals in the films. Zazu is...
Let's do it. Come on, that last thing about hyenas, the suing.
So a researcher sued Disney because of defamation of character.
Just take the point away.
No, you can have a point. That is true.
Nice.
Wow.
Well done. All right. Zazu is the only bird in the film to have a tongue. Scar is the only lion in the movie with claws. And Timon is the only character to have testicles, although you have to look very carefully for them, and they're only in one scene, and some people think they're actually two yellow berries and not testicles at all.
He's got a lovely bunch of coconuts.
Right, so there's a lot of that. I know there's that thing, you might still mention it, you're not finished yet. I've beeped.
Yeah, I've beeped.
Yeah. The Timon one.
Okay.
Give it to me.
Yeah, that's the one, isn't it?
That is not true.
Oh, wow.
The Lion King is the first Disney animated feature that was dubbed in Klingon. and that's the end of my...
He doesn't want it.
I don't want that.
Can I assume then that it was the one before the Timon thing?
You are correct. So what it was, I smuggled through two things there, I think.
Yeah. Two true things.
That was that. Oh, I mean, potentially, yeah. The Lion King was
one,
the first animated film based on a completely original story.
I wasn't going to buzz in on that. That's a lie.
Well, according to Disney, it's not.
Well, they would say that, would they?
Although they have openly said that it references got a bit of a Hamlet vibe.
Bit of a,
isn't it The Land Before Time?
Bit of a Land Before Time.
No,
vibe.
No, no. That's never been proved. All right.
Bit of a Kimba the White Lion
vibe. Actually, I found out that Matthew Broderick thought that it was going to be Kimba the White Lion and then found out later that it wasn't.
Nice.
And then the other, yes, you're completely right. The other fact that I snuck through there was that Scar is the only lion in the movie with claws.
I cannot believe that. Is that true?
Interesting.
Oh, is that true?
It is
true. That's such an unfair fight now when you think back. That one's just kind of slapping him with wet hands. Got massive talons. Interesting. Okay, well then you can have 2 points.
Thank you so much.
Andrew?
Okay, my lecture is about trees. Here we go.
It's good to
know. Buckle up. The tallest tree in the world is 364 meters tall. The smallest tree in the world has been manufactured in a lab at 24 microns tall.
Smallest in a lab.
Incorrect.
Oh,
beef's man. Not true.
I'm going to go for the tallest tree.
Oh, that's easy.
It's not true.
The double false.
The fastest growing tree in the world is the Congo creeper, which can grow up to 3 centimeters per day and can completely envelop other trees within a month.
Beep. I mean, which, that sounds like a very boring thing to make up.
What?
What do you mean, what?
Which bit?
What do you mean, which bit? You said one solid stream of thought there.
Congo Creeper.
Well, it's all false.
Goodness gracious.
I'm losing points.
This is how I'm going to get you guys. It's just with boring facts.
Well, just with all false.
Yeah,
you know, there has to be some true in you.
The oldest tree in the world is almost 10,000 years old, and it also looks exactly like Ian McKellen's Gandalf. Julia Roberts loves trees and plants 10 hectares of forest every year.
I can't imagine you made up that Julia Roberts loves trees.
Do you want me to finish the sentence?
Yeah.
But Mr. T once single-handedly chopped down 70 trees in 4 hours.
I maintain she plants that many hectares.
That's not true.
It can't be true. It's so stupid. True.
Well, I'm going to say that Mr. T is correct. He's probably done some of those weird bodybuilding things.
Mr. T has once single-handedly chopped down 70 trees in 4 hours.
Very good.
The full fact there is that it was when he was in the army. His platoon sergeant punished him to do that, but did not specify how many trees. And so he came back 4 hours later to find 70 trees fell.
Oh my word. He single-handedly started the deforestation of the world.
Is that because people have accidentally called him Mr. Tree before?
Maybe. Okay, right. A meth junkie crawled inside a 3,500-year-old Florida tree called the Senator, the fifth oldest tree in the world, and they had to cut the tree down to get him out.
Beep. I think the Senator is the fifth oldest tree in the world.
You are correct. That is, yeah, that's correct. there are, in fact, you know what? That's an extra fact because I forgot how this game works. So, well done. There are eucalyptus trees in Hawaii with natural rainbow-colored barks. And on the other end of the scale, there is a forest in Russia with different color trees forming the shape of Vladimir Putin's face if viewed from above.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
I'm going to go with the eucalyptus one and the colored barks.
Is the right answer.
Yeah.
It's true.
Beep.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for, I know this is a while back, but I think you thought you got away with it. The tree that looks like Gandalf.
Too late.
Not too late.
If you get it.
A tree that looks like Gandalf.
Too late. Yeah.
It doesn't look like Gandalf.
Yeah, you're right.
Time.
Too late. No.
Perfect time for that, actually.
Totally right. No, it's
minus one. On there.
That was like almost last episode of the podcast.
In China, nobody is allowed to own trees as they all belong to the emperor. And in Athens, trees can own themselves.
Beep. I don't believe that no one. Well, I guess it depends how you define ownership. But I think maybe in China, all the trees are the emperor's, like as in he owns them. If you really, if
like
it came down to it,
in the UK.
If there was like some sort of custody battle with you and a tree, it would go to the emperor.
No, it's not true. In the year 2015, worldwide, 147 protesters died after either falling out of trees they were occupying or being shot for trespassing. And there are. Yeah,
I like that one. 147.
No, it's not true.
It's not.
And
what is the actual truth there?
There's
that
nothing.
You've slightly changed.
No, nothing.
No?
Okay. Nothing.
I'll just take
and
some off there.
The last thing: there are trees on Mars.
Beep.
You beep that.
You want it?
No. I don't want that.
You beep though.
I beeped to say
that
I do think that there's a Putin tree.
What? You can't get back to that now.
How far back are you going?
To the Putin tree.
Okay, well, it's false.
Yeah.
Oh, my
Putin's
word.
The kind of guy that I think would be like, I want to have a tree in my way.
They've built something out of trees, but not his face.
There's something similar, but I've changed it enough that it's not true.
What is the thing?
It was that there were swastikas.
Oh, yes.
People
okay.
made swastika shapes.
That, out of
and
trees.
They had to destroy them.
Not that dumb after all, even though I did lose a lot of points.
I managed to steal two facts past you guys, and they are...
Our lawyers are... frantically at the phone.
They are that the oldest tree in the world is almost 10,000 years old.
Thought that might be true.
And in Athens, trees can own themselves.
Okay.
The only Athens tree thing I know is that there's like a really old olive tree there, like the tree from Gethsemane or something.
Surely that's in Gethsemane.
No, I'm talking about a different one. Like an Athens one.
Yeah.
But where?
So was that two?
Yeah, that's two.
But I want to know, when did you do this, the year-old tree? Oh, it was a height thing that I buzzed in. Never mind.
Yeah. And you buzzed in that the tree looked like Gandalf, but that was just a secondary
I thought that might be, because I thought it would be weird that you had one tree looking like Gandalf and one tree looking like Putin. I thought maybe there's something you've seen that's one of those is true, but I was wrong.
The extra fact you got was, I mean, the statement was false, but the fact that you buzzed in on the truth bit, I had to give it to you. But the meth junkie did crawl inside a 3,005-year-old tree and subsequently burnt it down.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How did he get a point for the part that was completely false in that fact?
Because everything was true except for I said that they had to cut the tree down to get him out. But
he said there's a tree called the Senator or something.
Yeah, there is.
Oh, right. I thought you were just saying the junkie part.
That was part of the build-up to the false thing, but the build-up was true. So
at that stage, I thought my best game plan is to not say anything because I think lost about 9 points already. Just let Simon walk into landmines. Go out in front. All right. My thing is on milk.
All right. I like milk.
Here we go.
Not too much, though. Lactose intolerant.
Milk was discovered in 1923 by Alexander Fleming when he sat under a tree and a cow fell on his head. It took some convincing by the first man who managed to squeeze milk out of the mammary glands of another beast, but by the 1870s, the first glass bottles of milk were being produced.
Beep. 1870s, first glass bottles of milk being produced.
That is correct.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Being produced. The milk was never seen during the first mechanized milking process until they eventually made the tubes clear and you could literally see the milk go right past your eyes.
So good.
Pasteurization was originally used as a way to prevent jam and marmalade from souring.
Beep.
Would you like?
Yeah, I'd say that that was originally used for that. Why not?
That is incorrect.
Oh.
It was, however, originally used to prevent beer and wine from souring.
Oh.
Yeah, bastard. The first child to show negative side effects after consuming milk happened to have no toes on their feet. This led to the obvious diagnosis of milk allergy. Milk allergy is not to be confused with lactose intolerance. It is not just the milk of the humble cow that we humans drink.
Beep. I think that maybe what he's done there is that milk allergy and lactose intolerant are medically listed as different things for some weird reason. So it's a good call. So I think that is not to be confused with the other.
That is a good call, and that is correct.
Yes.
I was kind of hoping that would be the one that got by. Where was I? It is not just the milk of the humble cow that we humans drink. Actually, there's a long list of animals from which we partake, such as crocodile, shark, yak, reindeer, and cats, as pontificated over.
Yak.
Yak milk.
Yeah.
Yak milk.
Yeah, that's definitely a thing. And I'd like to beep in for the sentence before that yes, there are lots of animals' milk that we do consume.
Well, I said that there was a long list, and I feel that the list is, what would the word be?
Short.
Relatively short in terms of how long lists can get.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
And cats, as pontificated over in the documentary Meet the Parents. Kalisa's milkshake song actually rings true in that a study shows that males outweigh females in milk consumption 66% to 34%. I said the word milk 17 times in this lecture.
Oh, that's very interesting.
How many have we got in that?
Yes?
Yes, I'm going for it.
Which one?
You're the last sentence.
I said milk.
Yeah.
No.
Beep. Men drink more milk than women.
That is not true either. It's my last chance.
I couldn't count whether we had gotten all the facts yet. I was like, maybe we shouldn't be beeping at all. Maybe it's very obvious that we've actually selected all four.
I actually only got one thing past there, and that was there was also reindeer milk.
Oh.
A little two in a list.
Nice. Interesting. I wouldn't have thought the reindeer had milk. I thought they're only good for delivering presents. Who knew?
Yeah. They deliver the milk that Santa drinks in the mornings. So at the end of that, Andrew has won with 3 points.
Ooh.
Simon and I have both lost with minus one.
Well, we didn't do too badly.
No.
We did one away from having just not been in the round at all.
Yeah, that's true.
20 questions. 20 questions.
We're back and we're trying to figure out what is in Andrew's bag. We know that it is vegetable. We know that it's savory. But it's not, you know, it's not a sandwich and it's not a pastry. So It feels like we're so close, but yet so far. Andrew, I don't know. Is it actually, when we said vegetable just now, we it's obviously meant in the broader thing, but is it like a vegetable, something that would come off a tree or out of the ground, that kind of plant-based vegetable?
It is not any longer.
It's been processed.
Not any longer.
It could be
That's a big clue, by the way.
It could be a bowl of soup.
Or it could be a powder soup.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
Well, because he wouldn't have a bowl of soup in his...
Well, he could with a nice tight lid.
He does look like a kind of cup of soup kind of person.
He is a cup of soup kind of guy.
I love cup of soups.
Does he?
But now that he's admitting it, it makes me feel like maybe
what
it's
if it's
that.
A Bovril drink?
Ooh.
Animal.
No, but Marmite. What if he's bought Marmite with him? But he wouldn't bring Marmite. No, who does that?
That's rubbish. Marmite stays in the back of the cupboard where it belongs.
All right. Andrew, is a cup of soup?
It is.
Yay!
Can you name the flavor?
Tomato.
No. Beef. No, it's a spring vegetable or whatever.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. Butternut. Butternut soup.
No, geez, you're running out of questions.
Potato?
Here.
No. We don't have it. To do the flavor.
What is the flavor? Leek?
I think it's chicken and vegetable.
Ooh, we said chicken earlier. And
yeah,
you said,
does it not have
not
chicken in it?
Yeah, but the main thing is that it's vegetable. It's a vegetable.
So. Well, that depends on your taste buds, really.
Yeah. Interesting.
But you got
now,
it, you
now
got
that
it.
We know that, where does it most kind of tingle on your tongue? Probably the sides, I
Probably
imagine.
Probably the sides, yeah. I don't know.
Brilliant.
I love it. And that was 20 questions.
Whose tweet is this anyway?
Welcome to Whose Tweet Is It Anyway? The show where the tweets aren't made up and your points don't matter.
What's interesting here is that you've gone with quite a whose line is it anyway thing, but you've also put on a very different voice. Yeah.
Like, was that not was
Drew
Carey's impression?
Welcome to... That's good. Yeah.
In this round, I have extracted some tweets from three celebrities. And
by extracted, do you mean you found them on Twitter, or do you mean you found these celebrities, you kind of tied them up, put them on a chair, you waterboarded them, you took away some of their freedom, and you really like tortured them to give you the answer of what they tweeted recently?
Or is it just the first one?
So I've extracted some tweets from celebrities, and the celebrities that I've extracted tweets from are Trump, Trevor Noah, and Tracy Morgan.
Ooh, alliteration. Right.
Thank you. And you need to guess who said what.
Okay.
All right.
Easy. They're all
here
Trump.
We go. Here we go. So, nothing makes me happier than my kids. Happy Father's Day to all the fellow dads out there.
All right.
So who's the second person? Trump,
Trevor. And Tracy.
Okay.
I think that's like Trump would say that kind of thing because he's in the running for elections and, you know, it's a big thing to be a family man in America. Mm. You probably make up children just so you can say that you have a big
also,
family.
Also, Tracy doesn't seem to really like his children or treat them very well in the show 30 Rock.
Where's Trevor? Like,
I don't even know if Trevor has children.
That's a good question.
He kind of reminds me of being our age, just way more successful. We don't have children.
No, we don't. That's a good question. I don't know if he has.
I vote Trump. Not officially. I vote Trump in this round.
I'm going to go with my gut and say that it's Trevor.
You think it's Trevor?
Yeah.
You're both wrong. It's Tracy.
Hey!
Oh. Yeah. Apparently, he is not his character.
Can you do it in his voice, though?
No, it's too offensive.
Yeah, in a way that wouldn't be racist.
Yeah, I can't really do a Tracy impression. So moving on. Here we go. The next tweet is at Trevin. Soccer is the game the forefathers would have loved. Sometimes all men are created equal.
Okay, well, already he's called it soccer, not football, so it could be a South African. Could be...
Or an American.
No, again. But I've been wrong.
They definitely don't call it football because they've got their own football.
Yeah.
Yeah. But why would Trump be interested in soccer?
Who was Trevin?
Someone who tweeted them.
You see, the more we find out about this Trevin, the more we kind of get closer to the truth.
Yeah. Interesting. Andrew's gone so far in his alliteration game. Yeah. He's even picked a tweet at a Trevin.
I did think of that.
Yeah. I think it's going to be Trumping. I hate to be like such a staunch Trump supporter.
Yeah.
But I think this one's going Trump because he mentioned forefathers.
Yeah, but Trevor Noah loves talking about the forefathers. You know,
his forefathers,
Charles, Garth,
Andrew's dad.
All right, I'm going to go for Noah again.
I've gone Trump.
You've gone Trump.
Yeah,
Simon gets a point.
Yes,
oh, man.
I know when I'm right, and I know when I'm wrong.
I've been trumped.
Okay, here we go. The third tweet is remembering the fallen heroes on hashtag D-Day. June 6, 1944.
Can't really make pithy remarks about this, Andrew. You brought up a very serious thing in this podcast. Can't make jokes about it.
Tweets aren't
the
always
day that
jokes.
I was born.
I might have to go for the. Were you born D-Day. On D-Day?
Well, I just call it D-Day.
June 6th.
My name starts with a D. Like Simon said, we can't make jokes about it. It's impossible. They just don't work.
Again,
I'm leaning Trump. I feel there's something about this tweet that's...
Well, I'm going to write off Noah. I don't think... I mean,
but anyone would say that. Anyone in America would have said that tweet on that day.
Yeah, so I'm writing off Noah. Because Noah's not a true American. I mean, I hope he's not...
Oh, wow.
Are you calling for his papers?
No, I'm just... I mean,
I just
don't think Trevor Noah goes, like, you know, in his bio now, it's not going to be like American comedian Trevor Noah.
Yeah, he might do.
Well, he shouldn't. So I think I'm going to go for Tracy Morgan because I think Andrew thinks that we're not going to go for him because Tracy Morgan's associated with more.
I think Andrew thinks that you'll think that he thinks that you won't go for him.
Yeah, but Andrew, yeah, he's quite sneaky, that Andrew.
And okay. I think it would be a travesty. Yeah, there we go. If I didn't vote Trump on
this you're going
one.
For the try Trump here.
Yeah.
Okay, well. Dylan gets a point.
Finally. Trump always wins in the end.
And the final tweet is, this is my hobby. I love them. And then a video of an exotic fish tank.
Tracy Morgan.
Do you think he loved the fish tank or the fish? What is the exact hobby here? Is it keeping fish?
Definitely,
is it keeping fish tanks?
Taking
definitely the
videos.
Fish. Definitely the fish.
It's very, I mean, we
it's
don't
shooting
know.
Shooting videos and putting them on Twitter.
All right, so who's most likely to keep fish? Trump, as long as the fish are American, he's probably happy.
Yeah,
he wouldn't want to keep any fish that are from other neighboring countries. Trevor Noah could be pescatarian. I don't know.
We're
going to
build a tank. It's just a little Trump there. This is a bit of fun with Trump.
And then the third one, Tracy Morgan. I don't think Tracy would have time for fish. I think he's got more serious fish to fry. If you know what I mean.
I think he's the exact kind of guy who would have fish, but he'd like bring them out of the tank kind of to a party and go, check out my fish.
On a leash.
Yeah.
That's
and
a great...
Like, Tracy,
great
those are dead. No, they're just sleeping. That kind of thing.
All right. I think I'm going to go for Noah again.
All right.
He's been Noah. So good to
Definitely
me.
Definitely not Noah.
Or he was good to me once.
Noah famously didn't have to save any fish because they could all swim. So it can't be Noah. It's got to be Morgan.
And Dylan is correct. And so Dylan
such
wins.
Sound logic.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well done.
Wow.
If it had been lions, elephants, that one bird that flies and comes back with a olive branch and little tweeting in the background. Little, that's not a bird.
The quiz.
Quiz time.
Yay!
It's the Anne Hathaway quiz this week.
Yes!
All right.
Because we're Anne Hathaway going away.
Oh,
that's cute.
A little bit.
And because your daughter's going to be called Anne, isn't she? Oh. I just stumbled upon it.
Imagine that. Anne Kerr.
Yeah, it's a terrible
Anchor.
Combo. Anchor.
Yeah, no, we can't do Anchor.
Darn.
It's my way or the Anne Hathaway.
We're going to start with point. Around Wan Hathaway. And question one is, during the audition for The Princess Diaries, Hathaway accidentally did what during her audition for the role of the klutzy princess?
Beep, 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 beep.
Dylan, you beep first.
Ah, she farted.
Ooh, no, she didn't.
She burped?
She did not.
She cried.
She did not.
Beep. She fell over when going to the audition.
She fell over during the audition.
Is the right answer.
Yes.
Why did you need to be so specific, Simon?
Well,
it's a shame. It's a real
off the
shame.
Off the shoulders of giants, I get a point.
She fell off her chair and was hired on the spot. Apparently, that did it for them.
She's done that in every audition since.
Yeah. Well, I like to believe that she was about to go up to get the audition and she fell off the chair before she did the audition herself. If you go on Wikipedia, you'll find that I'm quite correct in that Jaws did not influence the Lion King anyway.
Definitely a reference.
Just two little fun.
Question two. What food group can she not eat?
Beep.
Simon.
She cannot have citrus.
No.
Citrus. You can't have citrus.
Wheat.
Beep.
No. Grain.
Dairy.
Is the right answer, Simon.
Ooh,
well done.
She's very good. Is intolerant.
She is. So, she won an Emmy for her vocal work in what long-running TV show?
Beep. It's probably some sort of animated thing.
So you have beeped. I would like an answer.
I'm going to go for...
Yeah, there's a place-holding beep, that one.
Yeah.
The Simpsons.
Is the right answer.
Yes.
The Simpsons.
Maybe she's a guest star.
Right, if her acting career hadn't worked out, she said that she would have become what? Was it something that she said? A doctor is. I like where you've gone, but yeah, you're wrong.
It's a good profession.
Yes, a good profession.
A teacher.
Yes, is one of the right answers. Is one of the right answers. There's another answer if you want to guess.
A dancer.
Beep a vet.
No.
Give her a clue.
It's
beep a social worker of some sort.
Kind of doctory, but not doctory.
Beep a nurse.
It's more emotional than a doctor.
A psychologist
is the right answer, Simon.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's the same thing, in a way.
I know, but he said psychologist.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to give him the point.
It's on the paper. It's okay.
This is turning into a bit of a problematic quiz for me.
You might want to go see a psychologist.
Huh? Well, it's still pretty even.
Is it?
And we're going to move into round two, the good, the bad, and the IMDb.
Anne Hathaway with the quiz. That doesn't work. Sorry, never mind. Ignore.
Right. So you need to put the top rated feature films they've been in order. Best is first.
Yeah.
Okay. Best first.
Here are the three films. 10 Mountains, 10 Years. The Dark Knight Rises. Yeah. Interstellar. Dylan.
I'd like to go Interstellar, Dark Knight Rises, 10 Mountains, 10 Years, please.
Simon?
That is what I ordinarily would have done, but to make it interesting, I'm going to swap Dark Knight Rises with Interstellar. So Interstellar,
definitely
Dark Knight Rises, and the other one.
No chance.
Wait, hold on. What are you saying? That's what he said.
No, no. He said Dark Knight Rises
first. What did you
first.
Say?
No, I didn't. I said, Interstellar,
said
Interstellar, Dark Knight.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Well, then I'm going to swap it again and go Dark Knight Rises, Interstellar, and the other one.
Unfortunately, Dylan was correct.
Yay. Yeah, I thought so.
And so Dylan
gets... I didn't think he was.
No, you can't say that because you originally heard me and said that you'd swap it to the thing that I didn't say.
Yeah.
So you can't say that you originally thought that I was right because you changed it to be the wrong one.
So well, Dylan gets 3 points and Simon gets one.
What?
It's okay.
Because you got three correct
and Simon
questions.
Got one.
Yeah. And the second one is her worst films from...
Dark Knight Rises.
Worst is one. Okay, yeah. So here we go. Bride Wars, Havoc, and Don Peyote.
All right.
It's like a pun on the drug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that...
Yeah, get puns.
Don Peyote is the worst one.
Yeah.
The second worst is the one that's not Bride Wars, and the third worst is Bride Wars.
Okay.
How are these ranked? Is this user rankings or
IMDb.
Official?
This is IMDb rating, yeah.
Yeah, I'm asking how is that ranked? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Bit of users and critics in one.
Not box office hits.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, I'm going to put Bride Wars at the bottom, even though I don't know what the other two are. Bride Wars
looked awful.
So remember,
worst is one.
Yeah, Bride Wars one.
So Bride Wars and then...
Then Peyote or whatever, then whatever
then Havoc.
The third one was
then
you
Havoc.
Said.
Yeah. Havoc.
Yeah.
Okay, so the correct order was Don Peyote, then Bride Wars, then Havoc. So you get 1 point, Dylan.
Yeah.
And Simon, I think you also only
get like
one
five
point.
Or something.
Yeah, yeah. Probably 1 point.
All right. So
you needed like a mathematics degree to figure this out.
Yeah, abacus for this thing.
Round three.
Anne Hathaway could teach me math.
Is finish the
trilogy of films with Batman in them.
You should, yeah. But it's quote. A man told me that for a woman, I was very opinionated. I said, for a man, you're kind of...
Beep. Sexist?
Is incorrect.
Opinionated yourself?
Incorrect.
Beep. Old?
Incorrect. The clue is not smart.
Beep dumb.
No.
Beep stupid.
No.
Yeah, it is something like that, isn't it?
It's something like
beep.
That.
Beep.
I can't think of another word. An idiot?
Nope.
Beep a dunce?
Or like, okay, well, you guys
beep an educated. You clearly an educated man.
It's the same thing, but it's the
beep
not that word.
It's exactly that, but it's something else.
Exactly. Yeah. Because I've given you such a bold clue, either you get the exact word or we move on. So I think we're moving on. Right. So the correct word was you're kind of ignorant.
Ah. I said idiot.
Yeah, but didn't say
there's
ignorant.
A couple of letters crossing over there.
There's a good few letters there. Right, I'd love to be an artist that's...
Beep remembered.
No.
Paid well.
Beep forgotten.
No.
That's the truth.
No.
I'd love to be an artist. That's the truth.
Beep. No. An artist that is not famous.
It's kind of like it's kind of like another way of saying like skillful at your craft, particularly
beep.
With acting.
Beep. Oscar winner.
No. No.
A genius?
No.
Beep an
impresario.
No. What did you say, Simon?
An auteur.
What is that?
It's like someone who is got their own kind of voice and is very well known for having distinct style in what they do.
No. That's respected for taking your top off in like every film now.
No. Okay. No. Are you any more guesses?
I'm sure I have a guess up my sleeve. Let me just quickly take it out.
Sleevey.
I want to be an artist that's a Tony Award winner.
No.
Can you give us another clue?
I can't really
give
you
another
clue.
With a rhyming kind of vibe.
Okay.
Multifaceted.
Beep.
Multifaceted.
I was the only one that beeped.
I beeped.
He beeped first.
And said it first.
Whoa,
surely that's got to be the point.
Yeah, Dylan gets
that's very interesting. I'm going to inspect these waveforms.
If you do, I will award you the point, but I think
posthumously.
Dylan... I think Dylan beeped first. And the
I'm
last quote...
to beep.
The last quote is, obsessing about weight is a...
waste of time.
Is the right answer. A big old waste of time. Well done.
Did you hear that beep?
Yeah, I heard that one.
Okay, round four is distant relative.
Right. Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, round four was distant relative, and this one is about the Devil Wears Prada.
Batman again.
Okay.
Devil Wears Prada. So the first fact is Anne Hathaway prepared for the part by volunteering for a week as an assistant where?
Beep at Louis Vuitton.
No. Incorrect.
Google.
No, it's incorrect.
Ah, oh, that's the end.
And I'm not looking for a specific place. This is a place where you would
beep
where you would buy something.
Yeah. A shop.
But it's like an unusual way of buying something.
Beep.
Amazon.
Argus.com.
No, incorrect.
An online store.
Beep.
IKEA.
Incorrect.
It's a real place that you would need to go, and it's very vocal.
Beep. An auction.
The stock market.
Is the right answer, Simon. It's an auction house.
That is interesting.
Spend a week there.
That's a weird way to prepare for that role that I've never seen her in.
Yeah. Is it anything like that?
I don't think so. I think she doesn't really have any lines. Does she? She probably does. Okay. What happened to Meryl Streep's impressive movie wardrobe after the movie?
Beep. It was sold for charity.
Is the right answer. Wow. Well done.
Obvious. at an auction with...
it was donated to charity, I think is what you
mean. Yeah, that's what I mean. Because you said sold.
It was donated
and then it was
to
sold
charity.
For charity. That's obviously what happened.
Yeah, I don't know, actually. You did say sold for charity.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. It was donated and then they sold what was donated.
I'm going to give you the benefit
charity.
Of the doubt.
I know what you mean.
I gave Dylan the benefit of the doubt earlier. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt.
Shit, benefit of the doubt?
Yeah.
I buzzed in and got the answer right.
This was the last quiz for a while. There's
sick
a
of it.
Lot of stakes in this quiz.
Okay. And the third fact is Meryl Streep told Anne on the first day of filming, I think you're perfect for the role. I'm so happy we're going to be working together. What did she say next?
Beep. So relax.
Is incorrect.
But just for this amount of time, then I'm unhappy.
is incorrect. It's kind of closer, but it's incorrect.
Beep, but still learn your lines, Anne Hathaway.
Is incorrect.
Yeah, don't ever get in my eyeline. It's also like that.
Incorrect.
Don't disrespect me.
No.
Respect
beep,
me.
No. But I'm still flipping Meryl Streep, so behave.
I'm still big and you're still small. Is it something
beep,
like that?
No.
But I won't be in the sequel if you're in it.
No. No.
But, what does it rhyme with again?
So I don't know if you've seen the movie.
No.
Have you seen the movie, Simon?
No.
Okay, well...
Is this in the film?
I thought this was on set. Maybe it's Stuart Carrick's
on set.
This doesn't even help. Maybe it's like, beep, but I'm going to pretend to not like you for the sake of the character.
Is the right answer. This is the last nice thing I'm going to say to you.
Yes.
Well done. That is the same thing.
It is the right answer, and then a completely different thing.
It's the same thing.
Charity.
It's the same thing.
So, that brings us to the last question, and it is currently tied.
Brilliant.
Perfect. Which is amazing. So the last question is...
This makes or breaks Graham.
Closest
sound.
Answer will win.
Do we win naming rights to your kid?
No.
Come on.
Never.
If I get it, I'm calling it Devil.
So closest answer will win. Okay. The clothes worn in the movie amount to $1 million. But how big was the movie's wardrobe budget?
Beep. The movie's wardrobe budget... was $20 million.
Okay.
$20 million.
I'm gonna go with
dollars. I'm presuming you mean dollars.
I'm gonna go with 19,999,999 dollars.
I mean, that's basically the same answer.
Am I closer?
Dylan is closer.
Yay!
The correct answer was $100,000, which is 10% of their budget. And so they actually ended up borrowing most of the clothes. Dylan.
This is actually The Devil Wears Borrowed Clothes, is what they should have called the film.
Well done.
Should I play a little trumpet outro like my guy at work? What do you guys think?
It's
that
pretty
for
good.
The whole day, for months?
I'm horrible. Tempted to just loop that for half an hour at the end of the podcast.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh my word, this is a 2-hour episode. I'm so happy for this. Well, and then they realize what it is. And
are we?
Maybe during the quotes round.
Are we realizing that when we come back, Andrew will be a father?
That's actually amazing.
A realization that we're having here?
That's pretty hectic.
And that we'll have sold out about 20 shows at Grahamstown. We all have fun things to do.
I don't know about the latter, but at least I have hope that when we get back, we'll have Father Kerr over here.
Brilliant.
That's really exciting.
Yeah.
Andrew, we wish you the best of luck with that.
And to Claire, thank you. If she's listening.
She will be, thank you.
Have fun with all of it.
Yeah. And break a leg for Grahamstown.
Thank you.
All three shows, I hope they sell out.
And when we're back, let us know if we can bring you some meals or some, butter-covered wheat bix or anything that to help out.
Because I make a mean Bovril drink.
I'm assuming, you haven't announced it yet, but I'm assuming Dylan and I are godparents. We don't have to go into it, but I'm assuming.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
Definitely godparents. So thank you for the honor.
Yeah. Sure.
You don't act, it can be an unsaid thing.
It is an unsaid thing. It's officially an unsaid thing.
You don't remain an unsaid thing.
Because I know it's going to probably go to your good friend Jeremy. Jeremy, if you're listening, don't worry, it's an unsaid thing that we are also. Yeah. It's us three that are the godparents.
We're like the cool godparents.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.